Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Well, hello, everybody. How are you? Bettina, how are you doing?
Hi, Eric. Hi, everyone. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. We've been traveling the globe, you and me.
Yeah.
I'm so important. For the last month, essentially. And so we haven't been able to meet up for a talk because we've been in different time zones and everything like that. And so we had to put the show on hold for a few weeks. But now we're back. We're in our familiar chairs and our familiar surroundings. And all set. We need a 4-hour show, not a half hour show today after all of our adventures and things that we've experienced and learned and can share and what it's like to be away from home in a different place where things aren't your own and how much of a rich experience that is to learn about yourself.
Oh, yes. I think so. 4 hours might not even be enough.
Maybe by Christmas we'll get through it all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you went to England for, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, we went to England and Wales. I spent the majority of the time in Wales. Peter's younger sister got married, and the wedding was in a lovely little church in a little town near Cardiff called Penarth, and the actual reception was at Cardiff Castle. So, yeah, it was quite the event, and we had a great time, and we met relatives I hadn't met before and Peter hadn't seen in a long, long time, and it was really great. We were a bit famous because everybody seemed to know who we were. So every time we introduced ourselves, they'd say, "Oh, Canada."
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So the word traveled, I guess, but yeah. So it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And we did a lot of, after the wedding, we were there for 2 additional weeks and we did a lot of touring around to a bunch of little towns in Wales where Peter's dad lives is in this gorgeous little valley. And when you wake up in the morning and hear sheep and it's so quiet that, and the way it's situated, the sound travels. So you hear a sheep in the meadow up the hill, and you hear the cockerel in the morning, which wasn't always so nice at 5 a.m. But when we moved to the other side of the house, it was much quieter. And to open your eyes and look out the window and just see these gorgeous hills full of patches of farmland and vegetation and trees and hedges and little narrow winding roads. It's just absolutely, absolutely heaven. Hmm. It's hard to come back to the city after that. It really is. But that being said, this is home, and it was also really nice to come home.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's always important to hit that sweet spot, you know, where it's like you were able to, like, attune, you know, energetically to the place that you're at. And then, you know, when you've had enough of that experience to come back to your familiar settings and, you know, allow you some context as to, like, the place that you just visited.
Yeah, yeah. My garden was here waiting for me, too. So that was something that I, you know, one of the things I did miss when we were away was going out in my garden every day. And I mean, they have a garden too, but it's not my own. And so going out into my garden and I don't know, there's something about being in my garden, checking all my vegetables and bringing in the harvest that really has become a part of my fair weather days. And there's something about it that speaks to me and that brings me into a really grounded place.
Yeah. Yeah, I can really attest to that, being brand new to that experience. And, you know, when you up in the morning and you just look outside that back door, and there it is waiting for you to go out and check on and see what's growing and see what you can take. And like, it's just amazing this little, you know, the backyard, you know, it's not a massive factory farm. It's a backyard in a, you know, relative, you know, subdivision. And, you know, but it's just sitting there and you just go out and the ground has provided you with almost like a full day's worth of food. And it's just like, it's the craziest thing. And to go out there and, I know that feeling of like that walking out the door and being like, oh, okay, what do you have for me today? And it's just, it's remarkable. Like when you look at it, you can't see it grow, but you go out one day and then you have your day and you go to sleep, you come back and there's more.
Yeah. It's great. It's really great. And I really, you know, we went out with our coffee this morning, first things. It was a little late when we got home last night, so we went out this morning with our coffee and did our tour of the garden, just checking on things. And I mean, Allison did a fantastic job of watering and nurturing it and taking care of it while we were gone, and giving away a billion zucchinis to everyone she knows. But yeah, it was nice to check in and to see. I was so worried there wasn't going to be anything left for me, but there is. So I'm happy.
Are you doing some rotations at this point?
Some rotations meaning?
Like, are you planting like another crop to get in before the fall?
Probably not, because there really isn't enough time for most of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we've still got a lot of. There's really nothing that's totally done yet, so we're still doing really well. We've got artichokes, which is our first year for artichokes, so that was really interesting. And so it's just a matter now of taking the time and getting out there and picking some stuff. And Peter was out weeding this morning and seeing what's out there. I've got 4 beautiful cabbages, and yeah, I'm just looking forward to getting out there and bringing it in myself, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. We need to set up a second podcast, because I'm new to this and I'm so excited about it all. And we're going to have a gardening podcast too, because I know in the past like 2 months it's hijacked some of this show.
I know.
I'm surrounded by these women who have this green thumb, and I never appreciated it as much as I do right now. But I do want to go back to your trip.
Okay.
And I'd love to ask, like, what was your experience of, like, you know, I find, like, in the different places that I've traveled, you know, like, you know, you see different cultures, of course, but there seems to be like a, I don't know, like something that binds the people of a certain area. And I was wondering what maybe you saw, having seen all these relatives, being at a wedding, of course, is a great environment to really kind of glean off of, like, a group of people's, like, what is their joy of life? Like, is there something that they experience there? Is there an aspect of their life that brings them a great contentment, spirituality, a happiness that sometimes we either don't see here or that, you know, it struck you in your travels over there?
Well, the place that we stayed, being outdoors is a really big thing, I think. I'm not going to, you know, sort of stereotype everybody, but the people that we spent time with, being outdoors, working on the land, living a very quiet yet community life. In other words, living in surroundings, especially in Wales, where there's a lot of countryside and there's a lot, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of towns and certainly there are some cities, but it's quite different than here. And getting outside and walking and, you know, no matter what the weather, because you can't always judge the weather. It's much cooler there than it is here. And then this sense of community, I find, is much more important in their way of life. they have a lot of things going on around town that they go out to and that they attend, and these lovely dinners where it's casual and you just sit around the table and you talk and I find that's something that I absolutely love doing, and yet we don't do it much here in Canada. I think when I was younger, certainly the whole idea of dinner parties and having people over, and you and I have done that, of course, and we absolutely love it. But I think it's become more, we'll go to a restaurant, we'll meet at a restaurant and have dinner there, which, is really great. But I don't find it as intimate and as, there's a whole different feel about that than there is about sitting around your own table breaking bread together. That is something that I've really realized that I want more of and that I think crave as a part of my growth as a rather sometimes isolated five and really like reaching out and connecting with people connecting with people is something really important to me and something that I sometimes struggle with. So sitting together with people around the table and breaking bread is something that I find really desirable and attractive, and it just feels really good to be able to do that. Also going to the pub, to the local pub, even though a lot of the pubs there have had to close because business is just not what it was, mainly because of drinking and driving being a real issue. And on those roads, I think it would be more of an issue than anywhere else. Just going to the pub for a meal and it's different. It's a really different way of life, and we think it's not that, how much more different can it be? But there's a lot of subtle differences, and friendships are really a big part of that. And like I said, that getting together with people over a drink or over a meal is something that I think is big there. And I think it's really important for all people to be able to have that connection, to be able to share in that way with people. And there's something about doing it over a good meal that just can't be beat.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that really, that rings true a lot. Like when, big cities and even where we live here in the suburbs and stuff like that, like it's there's so many efficiencies and we really are grateful, so we don't have to live, 5 years in a row in a place where you can't get all the goods and services that you might want or need within like a very convenient distance. But there seems to be our society in the suburbs and in the big cities, like it seems pretty obvious that as a people we're struggling with a lot of anxiety and we're struggling with a lot of disconnection despite being all so close to one another. And perhaps it's just a factor of that there's just so many people that the bonds that are formed are very, very weak, almost as if we have too much choice in a way, in some ways, and in others there's no possible way to know everybody, so we don't even try. And it does seem like when I travel to places, that have a similar vibe where people's lives are a lot slower, they may not make as much money, but they're more connected to the process of living, the process of gardening and cultivating, a process of where they're closer to their food. And if they don't have it themselves, then, Al and Diane, three country roads down who make bread, or, you go over here and there's raspberries and strawberries and it's, grocery stores are an incredible convenience for sure. And I'm glad that we have them, but, when you spend your day with more thoughts towards your food, you eat just so much better. and you feel like so much more connected to your sustenance. And then the, you know, I really think that, you know, we might live in cities or you know, large areas that have 5 million people, let's say, in the greater Toronto area. But, you know, there's a lot of studies that go to say that human beings are best in a band, you know, where there's 200 people or 300 people, you know, and in a community, and you're connected to the sense of each other's well-being, and you're actually, you know, you do things to contribute, and you can take away in a much, it seems, in a much more healthy way. And, you know, when you say people are more connected, and that's something that we really struggle with, is that, you know, that individualistic notion that not only gets fed to us through, you know, television, advertisement, society, education, but also in that we don't have to connect to get our needs met, our physical needs met, our life needs met. We, you know, we can walk 3 blocks to a store and pick up goldfish and cereal and, you know, and Twinkies and prepackaged meat and, you know, Kraft Singles, and we're going to be just fine, you know, for a while. But you know, there's no need to connect. And so I think there's a part of the human spirit when you look at, like, how we organize ourselves as society. And I'm not saying we're all going to just go off into little pods of 300 or 1,000 people. But, you know, if there's ways that we can enjoy and take the benefits of that lifestyle and incorporate it into a lifestyle here and now, where we're so dominantly individualistic and so dominantly suffering from anxiety and depression and comparisonitis, I think that would all serve us really well, and really to go inside and ask ourselves what it is that we want to experience more of in life, much to your idea of, you know, having a much more wholesome and organic way to interact with people, you know, over food that each person has either made or contributed to. It does seem like a really beautiful connective experience.
Yeah, I think you... I can't even improve on the way that you express that, because I think that was the perfect way to describe it. And I think, and I know for myself, I have been leaning more and more towards that type of life for quite a while now. But it's that finding others who have that same sort of desire and that are moving in that same direction, so that you can create this tribe or this support group. And I think it's support on many, many levels. Mm-hmm. I think it's not just in with respect to, you know, the food and all the things that we need to survive, but spiritual, emotional, social, all those things that in the days when tribes, you know, people lived in tribes, all of that, they were getting all of that on a daily basis because it was one huge support group. And it's interesting because, you know, I've heard many times over the years that saying that it takes a village to raise a child, and yet we've moved so far from that that concept is, I think, foreign to a lot of people. You know, and this whole idea of extended families living together, and it's an older way of looking at things, but I think there's a lot of merit and a lot of benefits from that way of life that, you know, it's not good that we've lost that, because I think that there's so many things we benefit from having that type of life. And I do see it. Like, I've been to Italy before, and I've seen it in Italy, how it's, you know, it's always the breaking of the bread. And, you know, I love to eat, and I think that is a big part of it, is that I love sitting around the table, and as a family, we've always made sure that dinner time is all of us around the table sharing that meal together. And I think that's, you know, it can only help to make a family closer and know each other better and to be more supportive and loving and understanding. So... you know, I feel like when I come back from holidays like that, I want to incorporate things like that into my life. It's hard because we have a, definitely in North America, we have a much faster pace of life. And, you know, certainly in London and all the big cities in the UK, they've probably got the same thing going on, but I long for a country life. I really do. I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I'm not the only one, but it was great. And, you know, I didn't meditate at all when I was gone. And I was thinking about that this morning and I thought, you know, I haven't meditated in over 3 weeks. And that's strange for me. And yet it didn't affect my day negatively in any way that I didn't do it. So I started thinking about that because I thought, you know, we all talk about meditation and how important it is and the benefits of it, and yes, that's true. But I think eventually and ultimately it's about being aware of what's going on around you, noticing when there's a lesson presenting itself to you, accepting it and accepting how you're feeling and how you're reacting to it in that moment, and looking at from a place of love at how you might deal with it differently in the future. And I think I think that's kind of how I approached my holidays this time. I mean, you know, we were staying with family, and when you're staying with other people, certainly, or when you're spending any time with people, certainly you're going through different things all the time and different personalities and whatever's going on. But I found it so much easier than I ever have in the past. And I think a part of that is because that base foundation of meditation and awareness and acceptance and everything that I've been working on was really put into practice. And that was really great because you can do all the theory, but when the practical lessons come along, you know, are you able and willing to put it into practice? So it was really, it was neat, it was interesting, and it was fun to sort of experience that.
Yeah, that's something interesting too, because I know, you know, as a five, sometimes it can be really difficult to live in somebody else's home. You know, having to be considerate of their wants and needs. And sometimes, you know, they're looking to entertain you, and sometimes you just want to pull back and be like, oh, I'm just going to hang out and read a book in my room, or I'm just going to sit in the backyard. That's what I really want to do for 45 minutes and not talk to anybody. That'd be great.
Yes, indeed.
And to have to always, you know, you want to be polite, and you want to, you know, you want to be come off well, especially when it's not even your family. But that sounds really great, because that's definitely something that I have struggled with in my life. And, you know, that's part of, you know, in a way where I can get seduced into the individualistic nature of society and like it, because I don't have to be, you know, accountable living under a roof with six people, in that way where I can do my own thing, because it seems like it's always you're pushing against some standard, some invisible standard. So that's really interesting that you say that, but that's probably a topic for another show. And I do want to go back to what you said about, you know, how people say it takes a village to raise a child. And I think, you know, in your work and in my work and in Kayla's work, like, it's just all we deal with and all we talk about, even in ourselves, is the wounded child who has grown up. And that great burgeoning time for the suburbs and society as we kind of see it today, you know, the 70s, the 80s, 90s, you know, and now all these people are becoming adults, and there was no village. I mean, you go to one school to grade three, I didn't move around that much. I went to one school until I was three, then one school till grade three, then one school to grade five, and then one school to grade eight, and then one school to grade 12, you know, another school. And like, there's very little carryover in the people you see. And then you got baseball and you got swimming, and it's so many different kids. And so, you know, when you have a village, you have to be accountable for your actions. And we know that sometimes we, you know, we can fantasize about how we just like to, do whatever the heck we want with no consequences, because there's a new group, you know, this afternoon, or a new group tomorrow, or there'll be a new group in a couple of years. But we know, like, really, truly, if we look at our lives, that, you know, living out of balance like that, you know, living in a way where we're not in harmony with the people, and we don't have these long arced formed relationships, we know that that's not actually fulfilling. And while we might get what we want in the short term, what we think we want, we're really going without a need. And having that village where, you know the shopkeeper, you know, and you know these all these people, like, it really would really cut down on things like shoplifting and vandalism and a disrespect for society, which I think is almost encouraged now, you know, because it's gotten out of control. But when you live in a village like that, I mean, there's no, if you want to vandalize something and get caught, I mean, you'll be known as that person. And, you know, when you actually know the people behind the societal structures, I think there's a real, much more harmonious way to grow up and learn accountability and learn, you know, what it takes to not only get along with others, but get along with yourself. And, you know, this individual, this focus on individualistic society is really graduating a lot of wounded adults. You know, it's the majority of the work. It's the majority of the work that's presented to people who are in our circles.
Yeah, I think it definitely inspires a sense of responsibility in people to, when you have that connection with other people, you do feel a responsibility to do your part for the good of the whole group. And I think that's a big part, like you said, of what's missing in our current society is that lack of commitment and that lack of responsibility towards our fellow human beings. It's so easy, especially with, you know, I don't want to bring up social media again, I won't go into details about it, but I think, you know, in this era of social media being such a big, important part of our lives, it's very easy to be anonymous and identityless because you've got that separation and there is really no drive to have that sense of responsibility, to be a part of something bigger, to... And people struggle with that. I see people struggling with that, with wanting to, you know, have that connection, to be a part of something bigger. But you can't do it on social media. You really can't. You know, I know there's lots of people who connect with others, but I think at some point, you know, and this is a five saying this, at some point you got to open the front door and leave your house and get out there and be with people. And that's something I work on all the time, and it's really difficult for me. So, you know, I know it's not an easy thing to do because it's not an easy thing for me to do. But I think we have to make that effort. I think we have to start reaching out and really becoming that community so that we, you know, can be... take an active role in changing this world.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, like when you know the people, you know, and when the circle works together, you know, humans have this natural, it's funny, you know, we look at like crime in the inner cities and you look at crime in the country. And of course there's more people in the inner cities, but there's a real reason why crime rates, you know, per capita are so much higher in the city than they are out in the country. Because out in the country, you know, there's generally a more sense of knowing everybody and understanding how the little ecosystem works. And in the city, you just try to take advantage of everything. You know, and I come across people in my work when I work at the restaurant or the bar, people who just want to take advantage of situations and friends. And it's like, you know, we lose the idea of karma. We lose the idea of you know, energetically making win-win situations, and it's just about taking. And if I can win twice, and you know, because they're too dumb and they lost, you know, whether it's an offer from a shop merchant or whether you know it's some way to you know pit one company versus another or something. Like it's just we just look to take, and that's kind of been the way it's kind of like celebrated that you know you get things for the cheapest you can possibly get them, and you know, and it's just. There seems to be very little win-win mentality when it comes to our interactions with other people, especially when it comes to resources. And I think that is hurting our planet. it hurts our psyche and how we feel about ourselves and how we feel about our community in the micro ecosystem. And there's no doubt that it's really, really hurting the macro ecosystem, which is this planet and the haves and the have-nots. And like even if you're poor here in North America, my goodness, I mean it doesn't even compare to what being poor is like in so many places in this world. And it's not that we don't have enough food or resources to have everybody be comfortable. It's that we lack the motivation to put the systems in place to share them. And you know we can if we raise more people in a system where we look for win-win, I think that we can heal ourselves before it's too late as a people.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we are over time, which is really no surprise.
Just scratched
the surface.
How did that happen? That was the fastest.
The fastest show ever?
Yeah.
I know, and these shows are generally really, really fast, at least for us.
I know.
But Bettina, if you could send us off into our day with that guided meditation, I think that I and everybody would appreciate that.
Be lovely to get back to that. So let's close our eyes and take a deep breath. And as you breathe, bring yourself into that place within you where everything is good and right and okay, where everything you feel is accepted. And everything that you do comes from that place of acceptance and awareness and love, love for yourself and love for others. And in that place of loving awareness, we can be and give and share in community with everyone around us. We can break bread sitting around the table, sharing a little bit of ourselves in all ways that we're willing to share. We can support each other in true and loving ways. We can accept each other in true and loving ways. And we can accept ourselves with all the love that we are worthy of, and that is abundant in our world, both outer and inner. And from this place of truth and loving, we can create community that supports and accepts, that loves, that shares, and that breaks bread together. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers and your toes and bring yourself back to the world.
Thank you, Bettina.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. And look forward to next week and putting another show on for you.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.